All right. This was supposed to be my day off. Okay. I just love these testimonies, don't you? God's intervention, especially the ones from the students that says God has blessed them in their tuition. And all the staff members of the School of Ministry says, amen. Hey, you know what? I want you to do something. I know you just got comfortable, but we have to do this. I know. Would you stand with me and take your Bibles in honor to the reading of God's Word and turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. The book of Numbers, chapter 6. We're all familiar with this portion of Scripture. It's wonderful. It's awesome. I believe in a few minutes, something powerful is going to be released. We're going to enter into a prophetic release of the blessing of the Lord. Don't you love that word, blessing? Say it with me, blessing. I choose blessing. How about you? It says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I've set before you life. Say it with me, life. Blessing. No, life, death, blessing, curse. Then I'm paraphrasing, but then it goes on to say basically, therefore, don't be ignorant. Choose life. How many prefer life than death? Really? That was deep, wasn't it? How many prefer blessing rather than curse? So we're going to define that for you in a few moments, and we're going to release a prophetic activation here this morning. And I'm believing this is going to be a great year for you. It says somewhere in Scripture, from the beginning of the year to the very end. And in the Hebrew, it says that God's hand is upon you, his face is turned towards you, and he is keeping you in his special consideration, that in what you're in need of, God is going to bless and meet that need. And let me just emphasize, to meet that need abundantly. Oh, I like that. Amen. So let's look this in verse 22 of Numbers chapter 6. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, and I want you to just realize as I quote this, then that it's more than just a phrase. It is a release of something in the realm of the Spirit. I believe in the power to proclaim the blessing of the Lord. This is a house of blessing. This is a house of prosperity. Amen? Listen to what it goes on to say. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Before you're seated, turn to the person next to you and say, the name of the Lord is upon you. The name of the Lord is upon you. And you may be seated. Whenever you see the word bless or to be blessed, it simply means that God's favor is upon you. It simply means that the face of God is turned towards you, and he's causing his countenance to shine upon you. Amen. God's favor is upon you this morning. I want you to see this, because God is going to just infuse within our understanding a greater revelation of God's desire for his people. He's favored you. You're blessed. You're his people. And whenever you see the word favor, it simply means, number one, that you're going to enter into greater spiritual blessings as well as material blessings. Amen? Number two, guidance and direction is going to come to your life. And three, this is what I like. This is the literal rendering of to be blessed or to have the favor of God. A standard is raised up within your life. A set standard. And as that standard is raised up, God will watch over that standard to protect it, to seal that word, that promise within your life. But it also means something else. It means that something is set in motion in the realm of the Spirit. It is God's intention that there would be a progression of God's intervention and blessing within your life. We need the vision of God's desire. We need the revelation of God's desire. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. What does it say, beloved? Without a vision, you can quote it with me. What does it say? Without a vision, the people of God will perish. The word perish means to be made bare, to be made naked, to go backward. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Without a vision, it simply means a revelation of God's redemption or a revelation of our redemptive rights as God's people. Does that make sense? See, you know what? I don't think people in the body of Christ are really entering into, beloved, the fullness of what God desires for them. I'm going to say it again. I don't compromise. I don't apologize. God wants his people blessed. Jesus said, we're all familiar with this, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Let me tell you what it means. I have come that you might have life, and while you are living, you experience abundance. Amen. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, it says that the apostles and the people of God, that great grace was upon them. They experienced the power, the intervention of God, and its literal rendering, a mega way. I like that, don't you? In a powerful way, he enriched their lives. Even the beloved John said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. In a few moments, if need be in your walk with the Lord, we're going to break, hear this, a spirit of poverty or a poverty mentality. You've got to see yourself as God sees you, and you have to see your life through the kingdom of God and what is ours as believers. And you may want to jot these things down, because God says, I wish above all things that you would prosper. Prosper means to be helped alongside the road. Simply means to have a good journey, to succeed and reach beyond the norm. It also brings out the rendering to succeed in business affairs. Isaiah 48 and verse 17, the Bible says that God will teach us how to profit. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 5, speaking of a particular king, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, are you going to mix what I'm here sharing with you with faith here this morning? You got to get a hold of this. Come on, raise your hand. Just, I'm going to get a hold of this. Now, you do it in faith, right? And I just say, I'm going to grab it right now. I'm just going to grab it. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, no good thing. If you know it, you can quote it with me. No good thing will he withhold to those that walk uprightly. Psalm 112, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Philippians 4, verse 19, God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Psalm 35, verse 27, the Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. You are not created for poverty. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my, I shall not. And you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And whatever you do, I know that's great grace. Some of you are getting excited. I think you're waking up this morning. Is the person next to you awakened, just kind of poke them, see if they're here. I know, you know. Okay, good. Psalm 105, verse 37, he brought them forth, speaking of the children of Israel, out of Egypt with silver and with gold. Deuteronomy chapter 28, I mentioned earlier, I've set before you life, death, blessing, curses. Therefore, don't be stupid. It's a good paraphrase, isn't it? Choose life. Choose blessing. I've listed the blessings for you. You're going to love it. You could just quote them with me. Healing, prosperity, fruitfulness, healthy family life, soundness of mind. I'm claiming that. Hallelujah. Emotional strength, victory, God's favor. Now, here are the curses. Don't quote them, all right? Just listen to them, because we don't claim these, okay? Humiliation, barrenness, unfruitfulness, family breakdown, poverty, defeat, oppression, failure, God's displeasure. I want God's favor. His face is turned towards us. When we stand up and decree the blessing, there's something that is released in the realm of the Spirit. We're His people. We're the spiritual children of Israel. Amen. So I'm claiming this. We've got to understand the origin of the blessing and where it came from. In Genesis 1 and verse 28, God blessed Adam and Eve, didn't He? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, taking dominion. So it tells me something here, brothers and sisters. Number one, God gives us an ability to multiply. Two, talents to subdue the earth. You got to envision yourself. You got to see yourself in this. Number three, the ability to rise up above the elements and succeed. We'll go back to that in a few moments. In Genesis 27, you don't have to turn to it, read it later. Verse 27 through 29. It speaks about how that Moses blessed the people of God. And it goes on in states and other places as well that Isaac blessed his son Jacob in this particular reference. He knew the power in the blessing of the Lord. It set something in motion. It also lifted up a standard in the life of his son and his grandchildren that later on they entered into the greater fullness of that blessing. You know what? I really sense that this year is going to be a year that God is going to decree some things within your life. That as Jeremiah 1 verse 12 says, God watches over his word to perform it. And there's just some things that you're going to see set in motion this year. You need to claim this. I'm prophesying right now. I see in the Spirit, there's some things in the Spirit that are going to be set in motion. That's going to be raised up as a standard within your life because you're honoring the Holy Spirit, you're honoring the Word, aren't you? You're honoring His presence. You're giving, you're sowing your life. That I just sense that there's just some things set in motion that's going to reverse, if need be, anything that is a curse of defeatism. There's just going to be a reversing of that. And God is going to just propel you towards the blessing. And as you begin to sow, the Word of God says you're going to reap. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your children's children. I'm telling you something. There are some things that God is saying, I've decreed in your life, the lives of your loved ones in times past, I want to begin to fulfill those words. You're going to be the possessor of unfulfilled prophecies. I claim that in the name of the Lord. But it says Isaac blessed Jacob in Genesis 27. He proclaimed, he decreed the blessing of the Lord. Moses blessed the children of Israel in Genesis 35, verse 9 through 15. And it caused an entire people to enter into their inheritance. Now I want you to hear this a few more moments. You ready? Ask the person next to you, say, are you ready? Are you really ready for this? No, are you really ready? How many know faith cometh by what? Hearing of the Word of God. We need these messages. We need things set in motion. In Genesis 24 and verse 1, it says that the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. Say that with me, all things. In every area of his life, he was blessed. Now, hear this. Galatians 3:7 says, we which are of faith are the children of Abraham. Are you of faith? Amen? Then you are the children of Abraham. Romans 4:12 says, we are to walk in the steps of faithful Abraham. See, there's tremendous blessings in Christ, isn't there? We just earlier listed the blessings and the curses. As we are in Christ, listen to what it says in Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us. Ooh, I like that word, redeemed. That which we were a slave unto, we've been set free. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. All of those curses. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham. I'm going to say it one more time. You're getting it in your spirit. You are of the children of Abraham in faith. You are in Christ. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law for the purpose that we would inherit the blessing of Abraham. Now, Abraham was blessed in three areas, wasn't he? Number one, in righteousness. Because of faith in God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Number two, Abraham was healed. Amen. How many know his lovely wife was not the only issue in why he couldn't have children? How many know Abraham needed to be touched and healed? And how many know he was healed? Because later on he married Keterah and had six other sons. How many know that's being healed? Okay, let's move on. Hallelujah. Number three, hear this now. He was very rich. He was rich. He was wealthy. He was blessed. Amen. Number one, he stood in righteousness. Number two, he was made whole. Number three, he experienced the prosperity of the Lord. You know, when we read Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 through 5, and it says in that one place that the stripes that were placed upon the back of Jesus was for our peace. One of the definitions for the word peace, brothers and sisters, is this. You are experiencing safety from any enemy that attempts to devour you. Does that make sense? By the stripes of Jesus, the chastisement of our peace were placed upon him so that you can be set free, so that you don't have to labor under that devouring spirit. He was our substitute. How many know that? You know, you agreed. Amen? For our sins. How many believe he bore our sicknesses and diseases? But I also believe that he, in his passion, he bore certain things so that we would be delivered from poverty. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. I love this. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might be made rich. I mean, that's our great substitute there. He bore our poverty. This is what it's saying. He bore our poverty that we might be made rich. I want to define what it means to be rich in a few moments. In other words, he became what we were that we might become what he is. Oh, where's that found at? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So we can put it this way, brothers and sisters. He was made sin that we might be made righteous. the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But also we can put it this way. He entered into poverty that we might be made rich. Are you still with me? He's our great substitute. He suffered for us. He took our place that we wouldn't have to bear these things. He also suffered as an example that we're to follow in his footsteps. And yes, there are times that we may feel that we're experiencing leanness, and there's times that God blesses and we abound. But how many know the Word of God makes it clear? He will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I know you've heard these teachings, but you know, sometimes we need to have them reiterated, because as the weeks and months and years go by, you know, we enter into seasons of times where we're blessed, and we may enter into times of struggle. But how many know God's Word is true? He is faithful to watch over his word. And here's something we got to understand, that in Jesus' earthly ministry, this is my opinion in scripture, I don't think he was necessarily poor. I mean, he was a blessed man. He had several employees, didn't he? Is that correct? He was a carpenter, so he knew how to be blessed in the works of his hands. Amen? I mean, even the kings at his birth gave him riches. Well, what do you think happened to those riches? Joseph didn't steal it. Hello? Sometimes we got to sink, you know, think these things through. I mean, he fed 5,000, didn't he? He fed 4,000. How many of that's being blessed? In other words, here's what prosperity is the ability to tap into the resources of God. Of course, we emphasize the spiritual and the true riches, but how many know that, and I've told the students in the school that you can have a tremendous anointing, but you know, if you don't have, let's just be honest, if you don't have the money, the finances to get you from point A to point B, you're not going to really bless a whole lot of folks. Now, I believe that God is about ready in the next 2 to 3 years to release a tremendous spirit of prosperity, and I'm decreeing this upon this congregation. It is time that many of you begin to experience true lasting breakthroughs. You've been faithful. You've proven that, all right? You've humbled yourself. You've known how to abase. Now it's time that many of you need to know how to abound. You know, as a pastor, I used to pray, oh God, struggling in the pastorate in the small little church, you know, in Kentucky. And I'd say, God, oh, I would call forth from the north, south, east, and west, bring in the doctors, bring in the lawyers. Well, I don't know about that. But anyway, bring in this and that and all of the affluent people in the community. And we did have some come in. God blessed us. But you know what? One morning, God just sort of spoke to me, and he said, well, why are you always asking me to bring these people in when you've got people in your congregation that by my wisdom and grace, they have the potential of being very creative and releasing their gifts to come into some of that, amen, wealth and blessing. See, we've got potential millionaires here. Oh, some of you are claiming that, amen. I'm serious. I don't think some of you are catching, because see what's happening is, well, you don't know what I've gone through in the past weeks and months and years. And see what happens is, you know, we allow our circumstances of life in the present and the past, it taints God's word to us. We've got to pull ourselves out of this. This is a blessed church. You've been blessed. You've been a giving church, prosperous people. But you know, a lot of theologians come up to me, well, Brother Maloney, the end times is getting worse and worse. Let me tell you something. I don't care what stage in history we're in, however difficult it is, God will still bless his people. I think it's going to be used as a testimony. In fact, I can show you in scripture, especially in Isaiah 62, that the people of God will be so blessed and enriched and prospering in the midst of famine and pestilence and this and that, that it's used as a testimony. I don't know about you. If I was an unsaved person, that's the kind of God I'd want to serve. Not that he always has to do those things for us, but he desires to do that. That's not our motivation to serve him because of what he provides for us, but it is a tremendous testimony to the unsaved people. Now, also, I can share in Scripture how that prosperity or the love of money can be used as a vice. Are you hearing this? You know, to keep people away from the Lord. But brethren, it's not money that's evil. You've heard this. It is the love. It is the attitude, the motivation. Every one of you, your attitudes, I'm believing, your motivations have been dealt with. You want to be blessed so that your needs are met, your family needs are met, and you can bless others around you. Of course. We've settled that years ago, okay? So now it's time. I'm preaching to myself. It's time. For some of us, we don't have too many more years. I remember when I was 19, you know, I received these great prophetic words. And then now, you know, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But now, many of you already know, the students know how old I am. But now I'm saying, God, all right, you know, maybe 20, 25 more years, strength years, if you should tarry in the ministry. I'm saying, okay, Lord, and trust, bless, but not just myself, but the entire body of Christ. You know, the Word of God, oh, it's so awesome. You know, it says, you know, when you're blessed, we're blessed. I just love it when ministers call me or email me and say, you know, Brother Maloney, you know, we've been in a relationship for 25, 30 years, and I was tremendously blessed. Someone gave me a car or gave me a house or whatever. I'm just blessed that any minister, hallelujah, gets blessed of that nature. Amen? It's just awesome, isn't it? It's more blessed to give than what? But you've got to understand, God wants you to receive. Because you can't give unless you've received. Oh, that was deep, wasn't it? Jesus was never poor until they stripped him. Prosperity is our blood-bought right, our redemptive right. We've got to have a revelation of God's desire. Can I hear a hearty amen? Keep sowing, keep giving, standing firm upon God's word. He'll bless you in due season if you don't faint. Hang in there. Persevere. But we're going to set in motion more than just the concept that we've got to give for the purpose of to receive. And we're not giving just for the purpose to receive. There's the motivation. We're giving because the word of God admonishes us to do so, and we want to bless people. Amen. But yet there is that principle that he will bless. Because we see that in the original blessing, it says to Adam and Eve, he blessed him, commissioned them, and gave them some seed to sow. This is interesting. I was reading this the other day. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 12, it says that in the area of the Garden of Eden, in the plain, it says that there was gold in that area. And listen to what it goes on to say. And the gold was good. The first mention of financial, material blessing or prosperity, it was good. How many know? You know, Adam didn't need gold prior to the fall. How many know that? He had everything there in the garden. But I was thinking about this the other day. God gave him access to that gold. You want to know why? Just because he could have it. He could just be blessed. So number one, God gives prosperity just to bless you. Is that all right? We serve a good God. Oh, I'm going to say that one again. God blesses us with prosperity just because he wants to. He loves his children. Number two, God gives us blessing so that we will use it to be productive and fruitful, to empower us, to be blessed, amen, to sow, to invest, come on now, to save for his glory. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18 says that God gives us power to get wealth for the purpose, here's the third reason, to establish his covenant. God blesses his people. God blesses just for the purpose to keep his promise to you. So I phrase it this way. God blesses us to do something for us. God empowers us to do something for him. This is prosperity. This is the blessing of the Lord. Let me say something. When God blesses, he adds no sorrow to it. But here's the question I want to leave you. I mean, can we serve God in the midst of prosperity? Or do we have to go through something of a difficulty in our life, maybe even a curse, for God to get our attention? Now, sometimes it seems that some believers, you know, they're just serving God and pressing through the difficulties of life, and I've got to, you know, seek after God because all of this harassment, and yet God says, you know, I want you to rise up above that. I want you to be blessed. The Word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. And I'm not minimizing what many of us are going through. We've all been there. But, you know, there's got to come a generation in these end times, brothers and sisters, that rises up above what I term the bread issues of life. Because sometimes we live a lifetime so centered on our needs, not minimizing it, our family's needs. We all have that. But yet here's a world that's dying, lost. And God says, I want to meet those needs. I want you to be blessed. So in turn, you see that you can sort of center on the field that is whitened unto harvest and avail yourself and give your time and sow your time into the souls for the kingdom of God. But what happens is, I'll tell you what, the circumstances of life just pull us right back down, pull us right back down. And I really believe in a poverty spirit. I also believe in a poverty mentality. We need to be blessed. Now, I know here's an American speaking. Another American traveling minister. They have brought such reproach because of all their affluence and waste. And how many knows, for some, they may have to stand before God. They will, and give an account. But let me tell you something, that doesn't negate the word, God wants you blessed. You know, I can sit and critique these people all I want, but you know what? They got more than I do, all right? I mean, maybe there's a mixture there, and they're doing some things wrong, and for some, because their motivation isn't correct, they do have their rewards already. But yet there's got to be a principle there, something they have to be doing correctly, because they're blessed. God wants you blessed. He shows no respect to persons. The same principle of God's word will work for you as for them or anyone else anywhere all over the world. Now they're sowing in, let's say, Mozambique, and reaping may be different in our sowing and what we need to see reaped within our life, but it's the same biblical principle. Amen? God wants you blessed. We're not really emphasizing so much sowing and reaping, and that's the third revelation of divine prosperity, the importance of sowing and reaping. I'm not really emphasizing that. What I'm saying is we're decreeing something prophetically. We're a blessed people. You are a blessed person. You came out of darkness, you're in God's light. You came out of the curse of the law, you're under the blessing of the Lord. Amen? As many that are being led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You're being led by the Spirit. And you're a son of God. And so what that means is that as a son, I have certain rights, privileges, and inheritance to enter into because of my Heavenly Father. I'm telling you something. There is awaiting the people of God a release in these end times. It's got to take place. And you know what? I don't think we always need to be coveting the world's money out there. Well, the wealth of the unjust is laid up for the righteous. I've always heard that verse of Scripture time and time and time again quoted. And there may be an element of that. But you know what? God wants to bless you in your sphere of influence, your ability, the works of your hands. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it with all of your might. I'll bless the works of your hands. You sow, if you're faithful in this measure, there'll come forth a greater increase. If you keep your confession sound, Amen. Your thought life centered upon the word. You need to memorize these verses of scripture. They need to be, you know, just flowing out of your lips, because the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm going to speak blessing, prosperity. We are the head, not the tail. Come on now. We are above and not beneath. I'm going to bless your going in, your going out. I'm going to bless you in your home, out there in the storehouse. Hallelujah. At the job, the marketplace, in the tabernacle of the Lord, Lord's house, I want my people blessed. Job 22 and verse 28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing. Everybody say that with me, a thing. Yeah, say it like a Texan, a thing. Say it like my wife again, a thing. I'm going to teach you how to speak correctly, all right? Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established. It is the word dabar. The word phrase a thing means God's plans, God's purposes, what he's promised you. You're going to declare it before it actually materializes. And eventually it's going to happen. Now, I know we don't like to hear that. Oh, God, eventually it's going to happen. But that's just the truth of God's word. Amen. What you sow, you're going to reap. And you will reap in due season, under the understanding that God is faithful, and in his wisdom, he will cause things to be released in your life, the blessings, when you're in need of them. Amen. And when you're blessed, you give that much more. Is that true? And then when you're blessed again, you give that much more. Listen, you've heard this. You've experienced it. You cannot outgive God. Three of you are in agreement. Prove me. Now, some of you may be visiting. You may be saying, well, here's another preacher talking about finances. I'm not talking about necessarily material finances. I'm talking about the ability to tap into the resources of God. Amen. To be a prosperous person says, I've got the faith to believe God for the sick to be healed. But also a prosperous person says, I've got the faith of God to believe that the needs will be met for the purpose of giving. See, many of you, listen to me. Why should it all be out there in the world? You know, Jesus said that the children of the world are far wiser than the children of the kingdom of God. Now, that should not be the case. We should take the biblical principles, amen, the standard of God's word, and apply it and appropriate it and watch it supersede, amen, and take dominion over this world system, that we may be in it, but we're not of it. And I don't think that we always have to succumb to what's dictated to us out there in the world system of how far or how deep or how blessed we can be in our walk with the Lord. Many of you, I'm telling you, in 10 years from now, 15 years from now, I mean, students at Christ for the Nations, it's shocking to the glory of God what some of them are fulfilling and doing with very little, but they just took what they had and they went, and as they went, it just began to reproduce and multiply. Some of these students, they're in their late 20s, early 30s, they've already established 600 and 700 churches and places in just a matter of 3 or 4 years. Started with hardly anything, but what they had, they just took it. And as they sowed, God blessed them. Amen. And I'm speaking this for this generation and the following generations to come. Hallelujah. I mean, this is wisdom speaking here. Amen. Because I tell the students, you know, you're my insurance, you're my retirement policy. When I'm 85 years of age, you remember the old man, hallelujah, that helped mentor you. Why don't you stand with me this morning? Is this all right? I know this is a simple word of exhortation. I don't know if you expected the heavens to open, the angels to come down, lights, sound. But I'll tell you what, even though I believe in God's blessing and his glory falling upon his people, we need to be extremely practical. Because when you leave this morning, you go home into the same situation before you came, God's going to change that. Now, it's more than just we're going to take authority over the curse of poverty or poverty mentality. Let me tell you something. Poverty can be a curse. And I've learned in Scripture that you really can't curse a curse. Well, I guess you could rebuke a curse. I guess there's precedence in that. But really, the Bible says, here's the illustration. If someone, you know, if they're persecuting you, what are you to do with their persecution? You're to bless them. You're to counteract the persecution by blessing. Because a curse that comes against you, if you will meet it with a blessing, it'll just go around you, won't light. But if you meet a curse with a curse, then you've compounded the situation, because what has happened is it comes, it lights upon you, and then you've doubly set in motion a curse. And see, God is saying, I want you to meet the curses, the poverty, the issues by blessing. You will decree a thing, and it shall be established. This is prophetic. This is the power of the blessing. If we want further, deeper release of prosperity, hear this, we must honor prophetic principles of God's word. Because if you don't honor prophetic principles, this is just going to be just the letter, and it's just, you know, a form of godliness, and we deny the power. We need a release of something set in motion. You are a people of the prophetic. You can prophesy, you can decree, you can bless. How many know it's not that difficult to bless? So what I want you to do, I want you to just choose someone that is not your husband or wife, all right? And I want you to find someone to your left, to your right, in front of you, behind you. Go ahead and do that right now. Brother or sister, do it right now. We're going to release something here right now. This is prophetic. This is under the mandate, the umbrella of prophetic release. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Whew. I'm telling you, this is more than just encouraging, more than just praying. In fact, I don't want you to really even pray for the person. You're going to decree the blessing. So what you need to do, take a minute or so, both of you, maybe share with that person maybe some areas that you need a breakthrough in. Go ahead and tell them that right now. If it's finances, tell them that right now. If you need a new job, if there's sickness in the family, if there's mental harassment, emotional trauma, if you felt the disfavor of God, just take a moment here. Sickness, disease. Not only in this congregation this morning, anywhere else around the world that may be listening or watching, you can set this in motion. Right where you're at. Speak to that person. Ask them what they're in need of. Where do they feel some of the breakthroughs need to take place? Some of you have labored under poverty mentality long enough. We're going to reverse the curse. Don't do it yet. Don't do it yet. Just share with them. We're going to reverse the curse. We're going to bless. You're going to bless like Isaac blessed Jacob. You're going to bless like Moses blessed the children of Israel. You're going to bless like God blessed Adam and Eve. The Lord bless you and to keep you, cause his countenance to shine upon you and to give you peace. Okay, are you ready to bless? Listen to me very carefully. Here's what the word to bless means. I want you to hear this. To invite divine favor. To confer a talent or gift upon a person. To confer a sense of well-being and prosperity. To call into life things that are dying or have died. This is what the literal rendering is. Amen. To release God's creative power in that situation. Now, it's easy. One of you take the first step, and I don't want you to pray. Decree it. Speak the opposite of what that person told you. Be creative in your decree, your proclamation of the blessing. You are proclaiming the blessing. Trust me, the Lord will honor his word. The Holy Spirit will honor his word and anoint what you decree. Do it right now. Hallelujah. It could be brief, powerful. It doesn't have to be long. And after that person decrees the blessing, then you in turn, that just received the blessing, you in turn bless them. Oh, thou shalt also decree a thing and it shall be established. Oh, yes. This is prophetic. This is breaking the poverty. Breaking the generational curse if need be. You're setting in motion the blessing of the Lord. Reversing the curse or curses. Woo! We choose life, not death. We choose blessing, not curse. Oh, Lord, you're going to bless us with righteousness. Bless us so that we're healed and made whole. Bless us financially, materially. Woo! Thank you for your provision. Our redemptive right, blood-bought right to prosper. You were made poor that we might be made rich. Hallelujah. Jesus, when you hanged on the cross, you bore the shame of poverty. When they stripped you of your garment, you became our great substitute that we might be made rich. Oh, decree the blessing. Soundness of mind. Wholeness physically. Don't pray for them. Decree it. Prophesy it. Prophesy over them. God will add content. Revelation. God will reveal things to you about them that you weren't aware of. Oh, there's a dynamic that's being released in the realm of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. You delight in the prosperity of your people. Whoo! Did you get a hold of it? I said, did you get a hold of it? Are you getting a hold of it? Now just simply believe God's word. Take what you have and begin to sow. You're going to reap. Raise your hands one more time. Oh, don't you sense it? The blessings of the Lord, they just stick to us, don't they? They just stick to us. You're a blessed people. You're a blessed people. Start seeing yourself in that. Be a man or woman of visionary. Don't interpret life what you're presently going through. You may be going through it, but just say, Lord, this is what I'm seeing. This is what your word says. I keep my eyes of faith upon the future. What I'm being brought into, I guarantee you'll be brought into it. Get your hands up right now. Hallelujah. May the Lord, now listen, these aren't just words. I want you to receive this right now. May the Lord bless you. Receive that right now. And keep you. Preserve everything that you put your hands to. Insulate, protect it, Lord. Seal every prophecy, every word, every promise in the lives of your people. Lord, would you cause your face to shine upon these wonderful people? Be gracious. You are a gracious God. Lord, lift up your countenance. Come on now. His face is turned towards you. Look up to him right now. Ooh, I sense it. His face is turned towards you. Favor, favor. There's favor upon you. I speak favor upon you. I speak favor. You're visionary people, prophetic people. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you safety from all of the enemies of your life that would try to steal, kill, and destroy. I decree Jesus Christ has come that you might have life, and life in all of its abundance. Let's thank him for it. Amen. God bless you.